Amen. As we find in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. There are many times where we will look at somebody and we'll pass judgment. We'll say whatever comes to our minds, not even considering to investigate, inquire, to even go to the person and ask them themselves what is going on in their lives. We are very, very quick to judge at certain times. But yet, when it comes down time for us to be judged, we always say, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule. Can't it get any better than this? That the way we want to be treated is the way we should treat people. We should always think about our lives and how we want people to talk to us, how we want people to treat us, and in turn we should treat them fairly if they treat us fairly. If they don't treat us fairly, we still are commanded to treat them fairly. Just pray for them in general. But there are times where we may not act the way we're supposed to act. So therefore, people don't act toward us the way that they need to act. But do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 1, Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 1, we find when people say, don't judge me, they always stop with verse 1. They don't want to go any further than verse 1. And then they don't even read the whole verse. They just say, judge not. And be done with it. But the Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye measure ye melt, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? The hypocrite, first, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Simple, isn't it? You don't have to really put a lot of thought into it. Let me make sure my eyes are clear before I try to help you out. How many times have this happened to you, that something, dust or whatever, flew into your eye, and maybe someone was with you and they said, hey, could you help me? I can't see. Could you get this out of my eye? And first thing you say is, let me clear my eyes first. And many of you that have flown before, and when they're talking about putting on an oxygen mask, they say, put your oxygen mask on first. And then you help out the person beside you if they need assistance. You have to get your life in order before you're able to help someone else out. It's very easy sometimes to look at someone else and tell them what their faults are and not stopping to consider what our faults are. So let's make sure we get our lives in order. The Bible, it commands us that we can judge. We have to judge, but we have to judge according to the Bible, a righteous judgment. If we just walk around and let everybody do what they want to do and never point the sins out that they're doing or even congratulating them or uplifting them in the things they're doing right, we're not doing what God has commanded us to do. So judging is commanded. It is commanded. In Matthew chapter 7 to verses 6, Matthew 7 to verses 6, it says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot, under their feet, and turn again and rend you." How are you going to know who the dogs and the swine are if you're not judging? So you're going to have to judge. Don't do it. Don't say, I can't tell you that you're not living right, when the Bible tells you you can tell them. Don't say that you're no good. Say, I can't tell you that, when the Bible says you can tell them they're no good. But you just have to be careful. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 16. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 16. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Well, again, he said, you shall know them by their fruits. You know what type of person this is? By the people they hang out with. By the activities that they participate in. By the things in which they do. You know this person. And you know who's going to hang out with this person. You know who that person is going to hang out with. Judge a righteous judgment. He says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." You know, we can point to many different congregations of the Lord's people today and say, those people over there are not right. And the reason we can say that is because we know what they're teaching and we know who they hang out with. We have Bible to look at that. You shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. Then we go to civil government. It is to judge. They have a right to judge. Why? Again, the Bible gives them that right to judge. For who? He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So when the government began to sentence someone, it's not for us to say, well, they can't do that. What did God say? God said they can do that. The law is not fair. Well, it's fair to those that are doing right. To those that are doing wrong, yes, they're going to say the law is not fair because they don't want to get punished. You do right, you don't have to worry about anything. You're quick to say when you're in the courtroom, you know, I have a lawyer and I want to be cleared of all these charges, so therefore you want the judge, yes, to judge you. But when it comes down time for you doing something wrong and you to be judged, you say, oh, he's not fair. Oh, he's fair. You just need to get your life in order. Reproving and rebuking requires judging. Again, this is where men will quickly say, it's not your place to tell me that I'm not living right, or I'm not doing the things that's right, or I'm not teaching the Word of God right. But again, we have Scripture for it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's just start with verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." This requires judging. No doubt. How can you reprove someone if you're not judging them? How can you rebuke someone if you're not judging them? How can you exhort someone if you're not judging them? It comes down to looking at God's word and see what thus said the Lord. If God said those people should not be doing those things, then you need to go to the Scriptures and show them that they should not be doing those things. When we go to the Scriptures and we look at it and we preach it the way it is written and people are doing things wrong, this requires judging. And we need to step up to the plate and we need to begin to judge people, to point them toward Calvary so that they may understand what they need to do in order to get their lives right. Appointing elders requires judging. Did everybody realize that? This man, he first off, he judges himself. He desires to be an elder. He's judging himself. He said, you know, I meet these qualifications. I think I fit this bill. And so therefore, when you look at the qualifications that start with verse 1 in 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is a true saying. If a man desired the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. He thinks, you know, as he's judging himself, I can do these things. I look at myself and I say, yes, I can do all these things. I fit the bill here. I meet the qualifications, so I'm judging myself first. It said a bishop then must be blameless. Who's going to say he's blameless? It's the people that's going to put him into that office, and the people have to say, yes, he's blameless. It's not that he has never committed a sin, but he's living according to the statutes in which God would have him to live. The husband of one wife. Well, got to keep judging, don't we? How many times has he been married? And if he's been divorced, why did he get divorced? And this, that, and the other. The husband of one wife. And the list goes on. The list goes on. And as you look at that list, I want you to look at our elders today. And I want you to look at them, and I want you to say, you know, it is my right to make sure that these men continue to meet the qualifications that put them in that office in order for them to maintain that office. We jump down to verse 7. It says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Isn't that good? Now, not only do members of the Lord's church get an opportunity to judge these men, but those that are without get a chance to judge them as well. So we have to go out and then we have to inquire. We go knock on their neighbor's door and we ask their neighbors, what type of person is this? Oh, he's a ruthless man. He's a worthless man. He's one that when you knock on his door and you ask him to do something, he just bites your head off. That's not the type of person you want to be an elder, is it? But you know what we're doing when we go and we knock on that door? We're receiving judgment from someone. And if that judgment is not according to God's word, then we need to reject it. But if it is, we need to accept it. So it's important to understand that judging is commanded. Psalm 119, verse 128. Psalm 119, verse 128. Judge between right and wrong. See, we have to know the difference between right and wrong in order to be able to judge between right and wrong. We have to know the difference. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Well, you're going to have to judge then, right? To understand what is right and what is wrong. We hate every false way because God hates every false way. You say, well, God is the only one that can judge me. You know, you see those on hats and you see them on t-shirts. You may even see them on bumper stickers. God is the only one that can judge me. The Bible says we can judge you as well. I welcome you to judge me. I welcome you to tell me when I'm doing something wrong. And I welcome you to tell me when I'm doing something right. I welcome you to judge me. But be careful when you judge a man, because soon as you point your finger at somebody, guess what they're gonna want to do? They're going to want to start pointing their finger back at you. So if you're going to judge, you have to be ready to be judged. And that is what's going to happen to each one of us in the end. We are going to be judged, and there's nothing we can say or do about it. But what does the Bible prohibit when we start talking about judging? Hypocritical judging. Don't tell me my faults when you have faults yourself. Oh, you know, why are you walking around looking like you looking? Well, why are you walking around looking like you looking? You know, get your life together. You clean up your act before you come over here trying to help me clean up my act. Looking in someone else's backyard and saying, you need to clean up that mess back there. And they look over there in yours and say, well, why don't you just tear down the fence and you just have one big mess? Hypocritical judging. Unfair, unmerciful, harsh judgment. There are many people who will do that. Oh, you're not fair with anybody, but always want someone to be fair with you. Unmerciful. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how many times you ask someone to forgive you for something. You have people that are unmerciful. They just don't care anymore. The Bible says when a man sins against you, no matter how many times in that day that he comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you forgive them. Harsh judgment. The punishment needs to fit the crime. The punishment needs to fit the crime. imputing unworthy or sinister motives to others. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the verses 4. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verses 4. 1 Timothy 6, the verses 4. If he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. How are you going to know what type of person these are? If you find this man that's always going around trying to stir things up, then you can say, this is what I need to do with that man. I need to stay away from him. But in the process of getting ready to stay away from him, you make sure you teach him the truth. Let him know why you want to stay away from him or stay away from her. You explain to them. God is displeased with you acting the way you're acting. You know, you call yourself a Christian, but yet you're always bickering. You're always fussing. You're always fighting. You can't get along with anybody. But you call yourself a Christian. See, we need to understand that God is displeased with men like that. Always trying to keep something stirred up. You need to be very careful. Now, here's the important part. Important part. That I just read and we talked about just now. It's important as well. But here's the important part. Here's what we do not want to, you know, put any effort in. Get all the facts before judging. All the facts. You know, when a judge get ready to judge a case, the lawyers have to gather all the information, and he has to hear all the information that is given or that is gathered together. He has to hear those. He has to make a ruling, and he needs to make sure that ruling is right. You see those scales right there? Those the scales of justice. They're supposed to be equal. But we know sometimes they're unbalanced because all the facts haven't came in yet, but we're ready to pass judgment. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to consider what the Scripture says. John chapter 7, verse 24. John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Remember, we went back and we read about David getting ready to be appointed king, but yet, hey, this has to be the man right here that God wants to be king, because look at him. He looks like a king. We got a whole lot of people that look like a whole lot of things, but yet they don't fit the bill. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. You know, some people say there are two sides to every story. Some say there's three sides to every story. But I want you to know that the truth can be known. But you have to make sure you gather all the facts before judging. It's funny sometimes, you know, someone say, hey, I found X amount of dollars. Or they don't tell you how much they found. But there are so many people that would come and say, the money is mine. So what you have to do, the person that found the money, you have to figure out, well, whose money is it? Well, what did you lose? Well, I lost a dollar. It's not yours. I lost $6. It's not yours. And then others would tell you, I lost this amount of money, and this is the way the money looked, and this, that, and the other. And you can just about know who money that belonged to. So we have to gather all the facts. And the man that said that it was his, we can come to the fact that man, that it wasn't his. We can come to the fact that that man's a liar, because we have judged according to what we know. The golden rule, therefore, whatsoever you do to men or want men to do to you, do also to them. But again, this is the law and the prophets. Can we get around it? Can we say that, you know, that rule should not be? No, we can't say that. Why? Because it's in God's word. We cannot remove anything from the book that is called the Bible. We have to accept it. And as we continue to accept it, we continue to look at our lives because we want people to treat us right. The dogs and the swine. The Bible tells us and gives us some great information about dogs and swine. Again, some people will say dog is man's best friend, but the way the Bible talks about dogs, you have to consider who your best friend really is. Do not give what is holy to dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. See, we don't want to lie down with dogs, do we? We don't want to lie down with swine, do we? I know some of you have pets that are dogs, and you love them dearly, and I'm not going to tell you not to love them. But be careful. Be careful with an animal that you know sometimes when you think that you can put your hand out there to pet him, that dog can tear your hand up. See, there are men the same way. So the Bible tells us, do not give that which is holy to dogs. And he continues to say in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. We were talking about this very thing this morning in Bible class. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. You don't turn back and try to say, well, I think I can reason with you like this, or maybe I need to try a different approach. No, he says, shake the dust off your feet and you move out. You move out. And that's what we need to do. You know, we're quick to tell people that we don't want in our house. We're quick to tell them to leave. When they come and knock on our door to try to give us some material that we don't agree with, we're quick to tell them to leave. And when they do not accept the material that we try to give them, we need to be ready to leave. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 45 through 46. Acts chapter 13, verses 45 through 46. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. And judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. He tells them quick, didn't he? You judge yourselves. You are unworthy of everlasting life because you don't want to accept the truth. We have men like that today. They just don't want to accept the truth. And so therefore, we say, hey, your blood is on your own hands. It's up to you now. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to go back and search the scriptures. You're going to have to go back and prove what we said was wrong or to accept what we said to be right. But search the scriptures. Search the scriptures and leave them. And leave them. Ask, seek, and knock. It's very simple, isn't it? The scriptures tell us what we need to do in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How many of us like to treat our children right? All of us. We want to make sure our children have the best of things. So our Father wants to make sure we have the best of things. So He wants to make sure, you know, He's given us direction. He's given us instruction on what we're supposed to do. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. Can't get around it, can we? It's there. It's in many places. Every time we turn around, it's staring us in the face. Would you want someone to do that to you? You know, we have people that this is their job. Now, they're bill collectors, and they call your house. And they let you know who they are, and they let you know why they're calling, and they let you know you have X amount of days to do this. But they accepted that job, didn't they? Turned the tables on them. I'm Brian Moore. I'm a member of the Lord's church. I just want to tell you that if you have not had your sins washed away in the water of your baptism, and you die in your sins, you're doomed for hell. You ever tried that? Don't tell you Brian Moore, though. Just go ahead and give them. They already know your name because they called you, and they asked you right up front who you are. Turn the tables on them. I've done that. I've talked to them about the Lord's work. You know, when they call me, hey, this is such and such, and I'm calling about this. Okay, I'm Melvin Spencer. He says, you already know that. Have you ever heard about, you know, the Church of Christ? You know, have you had your sins washed away in the water of baptism? I told y'all about this, I believe, last year. I was talking to a lady whose son was here in Louisville, going to U of L. I said, hey, why don't you let him know where we are? She said, oh, yeah, I would do that. I haven't seen him yet. But still, you know, I know they're not supposed to talk religious things on their line, but if you don't want to talk to them, turn the tables. Turn the tables. The golden rule. What does it not say? What does it not say? Do not do unto others what you do not want them to do to you. Doesn't say that, do it. You can't even put it in there and think that it says that. Do unto others as they do unto you. Well, they did it to me, so I'm going to do it to them. The Bible doesn't teach us that. We do not, you know, recompense evil for evil. We don't do that. We pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us and say all manner of evil against us. We pray for them. We don't turn around and do the same thing to them. It's easy to do, but we don't do that because the Bible does not give us permission to do it. I'm saying we don't, but you all know the truth, don't you? We know many people don't care. Yes, I'm a child of God, but I'm going to do what they do to me. They shouldn't have never done it to me, and they wouldn't have never had me do it to them. You be careful. Do unto others before they do to you. It's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches. Do unto others when they do unto you. Doesn't teach that, does it? Doesn't teach that. Do unto some others as you would have them do unto you. Doesn't teach that. You do unto others as you will have them do unto you. We need to treat people fairly. We need to give them the benefit of the doubt. We need to make sure that we've gathered all the information. Yes, if you hang out with the wrong crowd, and you began to do the things that the wrong crowd is doing, whereas you, at one point you say, well, I'm over there, and I'm just trying to win them over to Christ. And before you know it, you're down in the gutter with them. So now we know why you were really there. You're telling off on yourself. You've told off on yourself and you need some help. So what are we going to do? We're going to look at the golden rule and we're going to apply it to our lives. And as we apply it to our lives, we're going to thank God for giving it to us. And we're going to thank Him for directing our path in the right direction. The golden rule, it needs to be an active thing. We need to do, not just set back. But we need to do also, the Bible tells us, to them. It is personal. It's not, well, why don't you go over there and you be nice to them? No, it's personal. You, each one of us. I need to do my part as well as you need to do your part. But we have to do, don't we? It's not a theory or a philosophy. You know what it is? It's Bible. It's something to apply, to do, to act out in our lives. We say that we're ready to live for Christ. We come down the aisle. We make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now what are we to do? We are to do to others as we would have them do unto us. Every day. Oh, don't mess with me. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. I'm not the one to be messed with. That's our attitude sometimes. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm going to tell you how you can render that problem. You push that bed up against the wall and there's only one side that you can get out on. Can't use that excuse anymore. Every day should be a good day because you have awakened and you are a child of God. And we need to accept that. We need to accept it. The golden rule taught in other passages. And we can go through all these other passages, but if you didn't learn it from those few, shame on you. Shame on you. We're going to go through them rather quickly here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 22. Write them down. Matthew 5, verse 21 through 22. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 through 28. It's very simple, isn't it? You want to make sure that you continue to treat people right. You want to continue to say the right thing to other people because you want people to treat you right and say the right thing to you. You want to make sure that when you look at someone that you look at them with respect. And as you look at them with respect, you want them to look back at you with respect. You don't want to do anything that's going to cause you to lose your life or cause you to be cast into the bottomless pit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32 again. But I say to you that whosoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. It's a golden rule, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. 5, verse 38 through 39. 43 through 44. It's very simple. You have heard that it was said, who shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy? But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's what the Bible says. Can we do it? Yes, we can do it. We can apply each one of these scriptures to our lives, and we can know that God will be pleased with us because we are living the Word. We're showing people that we are Christians. We're showing people that we want to treat them right because we want to be treated right. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Are we ready to say that we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? Are we ready to say that we love our neighbors as ourselves? If so, you are applying the golden rule to your life. Do unto others as you will have them do unto you. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, ye shall not covet, and there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love? Do you love people that only loves you? Do you love people that you think that may even love you? Or do you love people because God first loved you? Apply the golden rule to your life on this day. Romans 12, verse 17 through 21. Romans 12, verse 17 through 21. You know, I really like the latter part of that. I like the whole thing, but the latter part, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire in his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When they least, you know, when they least expect it, they need to expect it because we are children of God. When they think that we're going to treat them wrong because they're treating us wrong, we show them that, no, we're not going to stoop to your level. We're going to do what we know to be right. We're going to treat people the way we want to be treated. So when they're hungry, feed them. When they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Let them understand that they will need you before you need them, because we have God. Verse 7 of the book of Matthew, verse 12 of Matthew chapter 7. The golden rule. Therefore, whatsoever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the law and the prophets. Where is the golden rule needed? You think it's needed in our homes? Better believe it. We need to treat our spouses right because we want them to treat us right. We need to treat our children right because we want them to treat us right. We need to do these things because we're commanded to do these things. Husband, love your wives. Wives, love your own husbands. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's needed in our homes. What about our workplace? Servants, you need to obey those that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves to your masters. We need to understand this. I know we're not slaves, but we are servants when we go to that job. We're working for some man in our workplace. The golden rule is needed. At school, whether you are a professor or whether you are a student, it's needed at school. We need to make sure that we apply it the way it needs to be applied. In the neighborhood, we need to make sure, most definitely in our neighborhoods, that it is seen, the golden rule in our lives, because it is needed in order for people to understand who God is. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The golden rule is needed in our neighborhoods because people are watching us. And in the local congregation, the golden rule is needed. We need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to make sure that we love them unconditionally. Oh, you don't like me? Oh, I love you. We need to make sure that we mean that when we say it. Because we are commanded to love one another. Well, you're applying the golden rule today. What about to the lost? Are we continuing to pray for the lost? Are we continuing to go out into the communities and seek those that are lost, the ones that have strayed away from the fold? Are we trying to reach them before it's everlasting too late? Someone somewhere is waiting for us to apply the golden rule to their lives. I know that many times we wait until that person comes back to the fold. But for a man that does not go out into the thicket to look for that lost sheep, something is wrong. Something is wrong. So let's apply the golden rule the way it needs to be applied. Let's do the things that God is pleased with. Let's be the people that God to say, that is my child and I'm pleased with that child. That is my servant and I am ready to give him a home in glory because he has applied the golden rule throughout his life. When he fell short, he did not stay down. He got up and he confessed his faults and he did those things that were right. I'm ready to give him a home in glory. To the one that has not been added to the body of Christ, that opportunity is yours to come on this evening to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to have your sins washed away before it's everlasting too late, and begin to apply the golden rule to your life. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away, and you're ready to come back. Do not hesitate. Do as Sister Crutcher did and come and to make, you know, your confession that everything will be forgotten. Your past sins have been forgotten. You're ready to walk a newness of life now. You're ready to begin again to apply the golden rule the way the Bible says so. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.